everybody, and welcome back to Don't Quit Your Day Job. My name is Paul. I am your host, per the usual, today from the unfettered cesspool of Washington, D.C. Although, I guess the band's not actually from D.C. We'll talk about that. His name is Craig Hall, and he is from the band Curse Words. Craig, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Paul. I appreciate it.
So are you a D.C. band? Do you describe yourself as a D.C. band?
I'd say we're a D.C.-based band. I grew up in Northern Virginia, and Peter and Tommy both kind of grew up in Rockville, Montgomery County area. And Nicole, she's from Northern Virginia, Alexandria area. So we're all – Tommy, Pete, me, and Nicole are all, based out of D.C. within 20 miles, living within 20 miles of the city.
For people that are not from that area, I think the location of where the cities are can be pretty murky because, okay, it's Virginia, there's Baltimore, there's D.C., and you think some things are north or east of something and they're not. It's pretty weird to think about.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of just mold Baltimore in with D.C. I mean, it's literally like 40 minutes on a good day drive from inside of D.C. proper to in city of Baltimore. On a good day, it's like 40-minute drive. So we really play within that two-city area pretty regularly, and they all, you know, they become sub. They're both suburbs of one another,
right?
So right. And
that is my question. It's about what your local scene is.
I mean, D.C. sort of has a pretty decent sized local scene, and a large portion of it comes from Northern Virginia. I mean, okay. Northern Virginia itself has its own pretty large scene that's comparable with D.C. And folks like that live within D.C. they sort of only play within the D.C. proper, and then you have Maryland, Baltimore scene kind of, I don't know. They all kind of intermix. And in many cases, depending on what genre of music, I think that the Northern Virginia scene oftentimes is larger than DC itself, but it's one big giant sort of melting pot of musical tastes and genres that sort of all, you can play shows pretty quickly within 30-minute to 40-minute drive,
right?
And it's not a big deal. So
when you're calibrating, what is the right number of shows to play in your area, right? Because you don't want to play too many, you don't want to play too few, right? You're trying to get that right number. So are you thinking about all of those areas that you just talked about?
Yeah, and I mean, usually most clubs have, I know most bars and stuff, if we're playing a big one, you know, we try to, they usually have a 30-mile clause, or 20-mile clause or something like that, where you can't play within the month. You can't play, many of them do, but, you know, or they just wait to announce the show that's locally right after the one you just did locally. Right. So, right. I've tried to find the sweet spot, and, you know, and it just depends on who asks us to play or what we can get, you know, within the area. I mean, we'll go to Baltimore and play. I mean, generally we can play a DC show on a on a Friday and then go to Baltimore and play another show on a Saturday, and it's fine.
Right.
In the same weekend. But we try to space it out, sort of get a good sweet spot, you know, one DC show every maybe 3 months is a good parameter or calibration to go by when booking, and then sort of we can filter in a Baltimore show no problem, or maybe something in the suburbs, Northern Virginia, pretty easily, and it won't really conflict. So a couple times a year DC is solid, and you know, don't want to overstay our welcome as far as
that goes. And that can be a delicate thing to balance. But I want to talk about what you guys sound like. So again, we're talking about curse words. We're talking generally about punk, although I don't think punk really does it justice. My question, last question about DC, is any of that sort of when I think of DC, I think of very specific sorts of punk bands, right? And so, and I think many people are the same way. Does any of that sort of influence leak into what you're doing now?
Yeah, I think mainly sort of the attitude and the DIY ethos is really what comes out. Maybe not necessarily the sound. I mean, DC's always kind of been a hardcore. Early on in the 80s, it was a hardcore, you know, punk sort of vibe and feel to it. We're not super hardcore or that heavy, but we utilize, Allegedly is our first label, and mm-hmm. we did that after, you know, almost 10 years of DIY. So we really take that DIY ethos seriously. And, you know, I mean, we do a lot of our own work, and we work with other bands in the area if we're playing with them, and, you know, to come up with flyers and draw people in. And, you know, we help other bands that sort of are DIYing or on tour that are, you know, going to Fest or right. or other on the way through. We try to help other bands out, and, you know, all on our own. And, you know, and if we can't do a certain show, we'll bounce it to somebody else to see if they can help them out. And so, you know, it's a big sort of collaborative, amongst our bands and other friends' bands as well. You know, American Television and Celebration right. Summer, some of the bands that we sort of, have similar crowd or similar, you know, fans or for fans of, or, in of our local bands that we kind of deflect our attention to and whatnot. So
that's good. I do think it's interesting that your scene, again, is a little bit more spread out than, say, the Pittsburgh scene or the Philly scene, right? But you're still giving the sense of some real camaraderie there, support of each other's
yeah,
bands,
sure.
right? And I do think that that's important. Let's talk about Allegedly a little bit. So Bree Myers, one of the honchos over there, friend of yours, friend of mine, although you and I have never spoken, we do have Bree in common. First question about Bree: have you ever tried to arm wrestle her? Because
I have not tried to arm wrestle her. No. Should we though? Next
she
time?
Destroyed me easily is what I would say. But this was before her recent surgery. So I could beat her right now, but that's really not playing fair, I guess.
Yeah, maybe I'll just try my left arm with her strong right arm yeah. and then maybe it'll be fair then at this point.
How did you guys hook up with Allegedly?
I don't know. Like, we were just in the search of labels. I was like, you know, we've been doing this for 10 years and we put out a bunch of albums on our own, and we were just looking for a little more for something extra, to reach some other fans. And, we never got really any responses from labels. We did a bunch of put out some other labels, and we just didn't have, I just didn't think this would be a good starting point for us. And, allegedly they were local, they're from Pennsylvania. We like Pennsylvania. We have a friend, our former bassist currently lives in Pittsburgh, and, you know, it'd be a good area to make friends because, it's like a good earshot for playing shows too. Mm-hmm. Pittsburgh, Scranton, Harrisburg, York, Altoona, all those, you know, into sort of like West Virginia. It's a semi-local area that we've been really trying to branch into, as far as semi-local shows. And there's a good scene in Pennsylvania. I mean, you know, we love a lot of bands from, you know, Philadelphia and Pittsburgh and this whole area. And I don't know. I think it was a good jumping point to get us started and get us more traction in our area.
What does a label like Allegedly provide to you? Again, so we'll talk about this idea of success in a second here, but you've worked it for 10 years. You've put out records. So you've done the sort of work so you understand what you need to continue to grow as a band. But what does Allegedly provide you that you felt like you couldn't do on your own?
Kind of an outline of how to release, a very well thought out outline and sort of parameters on how to release an album. We just kind of release stuff, all of our stuff beforehand were released digitally, all willy-nilly. It kind of gave us the confidence to and some support and with folks listening to our music, it just gave us a better idea of how to and who and how to go about releasing an album that we just created. We kind of just threw it to the world without really thinking about get some extra ears to listen to mm-hmm. us and give us a sense of how to do this, and give us some support in that regard. Cause we can't just put out an album, put it out digitally all willy nilly, and it's good to have a support if we wanted to, ask for somebody to front, money or something, if we wanted to do a bigger sort of record. And we'd have that sort of support if that topic were to come up. So, to me, it was just and Amy and Bree sort of, they gave us this template on how to release an album and how we should orchestrate our, music video and how to release that. And almost a timeline on how we should release this music here, do a couple of ads here, on this date, 3 weeks before, do this. Right. So that's kind of what what really helped us out when releasing, it was the Curse of Times. Right. So we really utilized that and appreciated that because we kind of had no idea, even though we've been doing it for 10 years and we just didn't see any as much traction as we would have liked. So
we're going to talk about it was the Curse of Times, released in May 2023, here in a moment. But before we get there, being on a label, as you finish up the record and you submit it to Bree and Amy from Allegedly, did you get any pushback from them? You need to make this 10% poppier here, and we want to get this on the, did you get that sort of cliche label interference?
Not at all. I mean, they, upon giving us our more or less contract, they really, we had pretty much all of our songs done by the time mm-hmm. we came to, we just had to put done recording. We just had to put finishing touches on many of them. And they sort of liked our goof. I'm pretty sure they liked our goofy sort of style. We weren't really, crust punk or extreme hardcore punk or anything, but we were more on the poppy side. They were confident enough. I think they were confident enough to give us a shot, even though we had our first words were kind of goofy and have a more poppy sound. Nothing as long as we weren't, we weren't offensive at all. And I think that was a given that we weren't offensive.
Right.
They were confident in the way we sound from right off the bat, I think. So, so we appreciated that we were able to keep our sound and, allow them to sort of, push it as it is, So
when you put the record out, I saw it a lot on social media. I certainly listened to it at the time. There was a lot of good feedback, right? I think people genuinely dig the record, which is great. My feeling, especially a song like Igneous, which is the first song, you get like an early 2000s vibe. And then time keeps ticking me off, I feel like, okay, this is a Hot Water Music song, right? In the best possible way. This reminds me of bands that I love from them. All Tomorrow's Problems, another, I think, maybe my favorite song on the record. So are you just sort of chopping up your influences like Hot Water Music or early 2000s sort of punk rock and throwing it in a stew?
Yeah, I mean, we have amongst all of us, I mean, we have a pretty eclectic mix of you know, bands and influences. Me personally, I come from more of a street punk, crust punk, and, you know, pop punk kind of, you know, feel. And then, I mean, everyone likes those bands, you know, the NOFX, the Lawrence Arms, you know, I was into Leftover Crack for a while and those type of bands, and, you know, and even, you know, hardcore, and, you know, I think there's a lot there. If you talk to Tommy and Nicole's a lot into kind of grunge rock, but she also likes pop punk and punk. I mean, she works at a record store, so she has a lot of records and new music coming her way. So she has a wide range of influences. And Tommy too, he really likes just pop. He really likes Weezer, and, you know, he's got a good pop punk kind of feel to him, to his style of writing, and definitely a bit more of easy core, but he also likes, he can get really weird with stuff too and get really out there. All the influences just kind of collided, and that's what you get, what you get, you know. And
so you end up with space nerd party punk, I guess, is the way that you guys describe it.
Yeah, and we've all Pete's really pushed sort of the concept album feel, and we've worked on trying to hone that in over our entire existence, and really trying to hone in and meshing and getting a good, extremely cohesive concept, space sci-fi concept album. And we've utilized a lot of that in our lyrics and a lot of our writing and sort of our sounds, and incorporating in the synths and some more weird sort of stuff that, you know, to try to really hone in that space nerd party feel. And that's what we pride ourselves on.
That's where things get different and really interesting again, like that opening track with all the synths. And I think 404 is another song that has a bunch of synths on it, but
right, but
really like fat sort of 80s, early 90s synths, not 2023 synths.
Right. And, you know, and it's really been hard to, I don't know if it's been hard, but that's what makes us stand out. And I really like that. I really like that about, and why I think it's so much fun, is because it's like, you know, the progress of making this whole thing freaking cohesive is with all those influences and this sort of nerdy party punk, space party punk concept that we've sort of delved out of, you know, all of those influences, is that's what makes it fun and enjoyable and stand out.
And then suddenly there's a Japan Droids song. Japan Droids, you know, are an amazing band, but for me, I was like, what? Japan Droids?
Yeah, we just keep throwing curveballs at everyone. And, you know, I mean, maybe it's a blessing, maybe it's a curse, I don't know, but we just keep throwing all, I mean, we did Tom Petty covers, and, you know, we've always, you know, over the years, and we just like to, I don't know, we just like to test the limits. I don't know. We just, and I guess it's, so far it's working, sort of. I don't know. We want to keep getting progressing.
Yeah. And when you're playing out, if you're going to a new area and you're playing on a bill with a bunch of punk rock bands, which is pretty common. You know, we all play in punk rock bands, and that's what you, when you get a band that's different, do you get reactions that are different? And by that, I mean both positive and negative.
I don't think we've ever had a negative reaction to us playing. It's more like, you know, oh crap, they're lively. They, you know, we try to bring it, you know, for, you know, if we got to drive, you know, we played at 222 Ormsby and this year, and you know, if we got to drive 6 hours, like, you know, we're going to try to bring it, whatever, whoever, however many people are there. Hopefully, you know, if our music sucks, hopefully at least if someone thinks our music sucks, then hopefully at least they had a good time because right. we brought it on stage, you know, at the very least. So, you know, and generally, you know, hopefully we play with bands that we have a good, you know, we're either super eclectic label or bill or, you know, we have so much fun that it just, we rip so hard. So,
right.
That's kind of our main thing. If we got to drive or we try to bring it every time. You know, if you ever, you know, and since you're in Pittsburgh, we really want to get back into that area, and I'm booking a few shows, hopefully there this summer, hopefully trying to go through Ohio and into Pittsburgh.
Cool. Well, so we'll definitely, I can offer some help there, and we
excellent.
can talk about that, after we're done. But speaking of the live show and the record, you know, as you attempt to break through, and again, whatever, I'm not sure what breaking through means because it's different for everyone. How do you stand out? Is it just the live show? So your live show is, you know, you're really active and you want to engage with the audience. Is it the use of weirdo synths or acoustic guitars on your records? Is it sci-fi themes and concept albums? Or is it all of those things, you know? So are these always conscious decisions to try to break through to whatever the next level is?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, we spent a lot of time writing, and you know, we're already, you know, starting to begin. I mean, we're at the early stages of working on the next, you know, Odyssey, essentially. And you know, I think a lot of it is we want to put all those things together and then into a show, and you know, make new friends, make new fans, have a fucking good ass time. And if we can have all those things into one show, I mean, that to me is why we're doing it. I mean, there's, you know, we're always at the old adage, like if we're not having fun doing it, there's no point in doing it.
Right.
And sometimes we've had points where we've had to take a step back and like, and be like, all right, you know, let's take some time off and regroup a little bit and make sure we're still going to be able to have fun, you know, playing shows and booking shows, and we're able to make new friends and write the way we want to write, and, you know, have a good experience while writing or recording or whatnot. I mean, because we've had, you know, bad experiences recording, but that was just once.
All right. So now you're going to have to tell that story. Is there anything fun about that story, or is it just shitty top to bottom?
Yeah. I mean, you know, yeah, I mean, I think we just, our expectation wasn't met, and we put our eggs into one basket, and it didn't end up work coming out, or the end product wasn't anything we could use. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there was some frustrations and a little bit of dough that went down the toilet. But you know, that was a long time ago now, and it frustrated everybody. But you know, we've bounced back from that scenario. And I mean, at the end of the day, it wasn't the end of the world. I mean, and you know, I could also say that we also, like, right when we, back in 2016, I mean, we were a year in practice, and, my entire basement flooded, and Tommy and Pete lost their amps and and a head, and my basement flooded, and we almost practically called it quits then too. And you know, my drums were underwater, and you know, I lost everything in the basement that I was living in. I was living in a rooming house, and I lived in the basement, and we had a bad rainstorm, and it flooded off everything, and it was tough to tell them that they lost their stuff. But yeah, you know, they were cool about it, and here we are today. No, you know, no hard feelings. Shit happens, and you know, some folks got I mean, we had equipment robbed one time, and you know, we got it all back, and we're still playing. So it happens. But we're still together, and you know, we've had a few bass players over the years, but that's okay. We have a good cohesive team, and that's what's kept us going.
That perseverance, I think, is really important. You have to. Every band should go through sort of the shitty times, and most bands do if they're together for long enough. Especially if bands are touring, you know, everything can be tiring at some point or another. I want to ask you this question, and that is the next thing, right? When you think about what the next thing is it, okay, we want to sign to Warner's and we all want to get our Lamborghinis and hookers and everything. Is that the quintessential dream, rock star dream? Is that part of the motivation at all? I mean, that's the silly question.
I mean, definitely, I wouldn't, that's definitely not the quintessential, what we, you know, in Curseword's mind, I think ultimately is to have fun. I mean, everyone has their certain idea of what they want out of it. And, I mean, generally we have a similar, the one common denominator is to have fun and enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, me personally, I'd like to experience new areas, new cities, new towns, and share our music with new, you know, and spend a little bit more time on the road. And, right. You know, and that, you know, and play with new bands and hopefully build a bigger audience in, you know, the tri-state, you know, baby steps, you know.
Right. Right.
You know, and play bigger cities like New York, Boston, and I want to play in front of a bigger crowd. I want to play in front of a packed house. That's what gets me excited. You know, I'm not all about, you know, I want to play sit behind drums in front of a packed house. I don't know. That's just me. And, other folks, you know, they may want to record an awesome album that sounds really good, but I'm all about this. Being on stage and you know, going to and playing in front of a big house. Yeah, I mean, playing in DC is great, and we really do really well, I think, in DC. But you know, to go to Philadelphia and I don't know, or Pittsburgh, I don't know if there's going to be a lot of people there, and then we show up and it's packed. That's what gets me going.
Right.
That's what gets me excited to go to the next town or keep it going. To me, that's for me. But others may have the same feeling. I can't speak for them, but I think generally the common denominator is to enjoy it.
Right.
To keep it going.
Cool. Well, I will encourage everyone who's listening to the show to check out It Was the Cursed of Times by Curse Words. Awesome. It is on Allegedly Records, but you can, of course, go to Bandcamp or any of the socials from the band Curse Words. Thanks to everyone who's listening and supporting the show. It is much appreciated. Thanks to Craig Hall for being on the show. Thanks a lot. Hopefully we can do this again when the next record comes out, because it is a truly great record, so you guys should be proud.
Well, thank you. Yeah, and we'll be in the Pittsburgh, Ohio area this year, I can assure you, and I'll be reaching out for some pointers and tips and advice and you know, and some assistance maybe with getting some shows together in the area this year. So, or next year. Yeah. I thank you, Paul, for the time out.
For sure.
To chat with me. So appreciate it.